Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Philip Sitter. Philip covers a variety of topics for the News Tribune. He's laughing right now. I don't understand that. He covers a variety of topics for the News Tribune. He covers the State House, the Senate side primarily, as well as Lincoln University and State Technical College. So today we're going to be talking about Lincoln University in particular. Welcome, Philip.
Hello. I'm always bad at podcast intros, I have to say.
All right. So, Philip, in recent years, Lincoln University has been seeing declining enrollment and low graduation retention rates for students as well, which is not good for the students, and frankly, it's not good for Lincoln in that it affects their revenue base. So this all kind of came to light in a recent audit by this Atlanta area CPA firm that painted this picture of Lincoln University. The audit, for the most part, measured the factors from 2012 to present. So as far as enrollment goes, how does enrollment compare from 2012 to today?
Well, and I should say, the data we have actually goes back to 2009. And for the next couple years after that, enrollment actually was increasing a little bit. In 2009, there were 3,109 students enrolled for the fall semester of that fiscal year. So this would be fall 2008 in terms of actual calendar. 2012, it peaked at 3,388. And that's when it starts to go down. Goes down to 3,200 in 2013, about 3,000 in 2014, peaked up a little bit, back to about 3,100 in 2015, and then it continues on down from there to last year. The 2019 fiscal year was 2,478.
So a substantial decrease from that 3,300 high point down to 2,400 and some change.
About 900 students.
Yeah. So, Philip, when it comes to graduation rates at Lincoln, what's the four-year graduation rate at Lincoln University?
It is 9% based on the federal data we have.
So that seems awfully low, a 9% rating. How does it compare to other schools that are comparable?
Well, and by comparable, the schools I pulled, Lincoln recently discussed a tuition change, which I think we'll discuss in a little bit, and they compared their rates to William Woods, Columbia College, Harris Stowe, and Truman State. And then I also threw in MU. I know Lincoln might not agree that MU is a fair comparison, but it's obviously the biggest local school that I think everyone knows. For Columbia College, the four-year graduation rate is 25%. William Woods is 48%. Harris Stowe is 1%. Truman State is 56%. And MU is 46%.
Quite a stark difference between the different schools. So let's jump on over to a retention, okay? When it comes to retention, Lincoln has a bit of a problem as well. What percentage of freshmen at Lincoln come back for their sophomore year, and has it always been that way?
Well, as for what percent, it's 50 or half. And again, comparing that to other schools, Columbia College is 69%, William Woods, 74%, Harris Stowe, 65%, Truman State, 83%, and MU, 87%.
So obviously there's an advantage for a university to be able to retain its students. It's less, you're not out there looking for new enrollees. So it's in their best interest to retain as many of those students as possible. For those LU students who do stay and graduate, who they do retain, though, it's not necessarily a traditional four-year college experience. Why is that?
Many students, and this is based from conversations with President Woolfolk, as well as the school's conversations with the Board of Curators recently, many students take at least 6 years, if not longer, to graduate, those that do graduate. Many of them are taking credit loads per semester of 12 credits, which doesn't necessarily allow them to graduate in 4 years for the programs that they're taking. The school is concerned that students who take longer to graduate, their financial aid expires. Federal aid, like the Pell Grant, has a certain eligibility length to it. And if you take longer than that eligibility period, you lose that aid. And ergo, some students can't afford to continue on and actually graduate.
So they basically have to either quit school, find a job to finance it, but they sort of hit a wall at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To address these issues, LU President Gerald Woolfolk has set a goal of increasing the number of new students brought in and the school's retention rate. She noted in your Sunday story the number of Mid-Missouri students at LU has declined significantly over the years. So how's she going to attract more students to LU?
The portrait she painted is that they want to be a lot more aggressive in being in high schools. I should say they have a full-time recruiter who is specifically for the Mid-Missouri area. They have other recruiters as well. The Mid-Missouri recruiter will focus on Jefferson City and also the counties around here, Cole, Boone, Callaway, Bonneto, etc. They really want to let students know that there's scholarship money available for them to come here. And there is at least one scholarship that I know of. It's called the Heart of Missouri Scholarship. Woolfolk said this recruiter has been on the job for about 2 months. They had one last semester, but they decided not to continue. And Woolfolk has a specific goal of not just Mid-Missouri, but all the areas they draw students from. They would like to see a 5 to 10% increase in the next 3 to 5 years.
And it seems as if, I mean, that should be somewhat low-hanging fruit, if you will, with attracting more Mid-Missouri students. LU wouldn't have to worry about housing, things such as that. One would argue they probably would live off campus or and live with their parents.
Most students do live off campus already.
And so that would be an easier threshold to increase enrollment.
And frankly, I mean, there's local interest in that happening. I know I used to cover the K-12 system here in town, and Jefferson City Public Schools has been interested in developing a teacher pipeline through Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So once LU gets these new students there, the next goal is obviously going to get them back the next year. So one tool the university is implementing is a flat rate tuition with the idea of getting them to take more hours per year, condensing their time at the school. So kind of explain how the flat rate tuition would work.
So flat rate tuition, this applies to 12 to 18 credit hours, the credit loads that students are taking. And this is something that the Board of Curators approved last week. I guess it's not a proposal anymore. What the system is that starting in the fall of 2020, students who are enrolled in 12 credit hours will actually be paying for 15. And likewise, if you're taking 13 to 14, you're also paying for 15. And the flip side of that is if you're taking more than 15, you're actually getting a discount because you're not paying as much for the credits that you're taking. And like you said, the idea is to incentivize students who are only taking 12 to basically sign up for 15 because they're already paying for it.
Right. So how many credit hours does it take to graduate from Lincoln with a bachelor's degree?
I'm sure that depends on a program by program basis.
Okay.
Be my assumption, but.
But clearly, if you're picking up, if you have a number of students who are taking 12 hours, if you're picking up 6 credit hours a year, that certainly is going to be a good tool to try to condense the amount of time they're at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what other tools is LU deploying to try to retain students, to get them on the right track?
Well, I should say it's one thing to incentivize students to take more credit hours, but I think LU is aware that those students also need to be academically prepared to take those extra credit hours.
Mm-hmm.
That is something also that they are both struggling with and working on, is making sure students stay on track academically in terms of their performance. So they recently instituted something called the Blue Tiger Academy, which Wolfolk described as a mentoring program, tutoring, those kinds of services. And it seems they're having some success with it. They had 40 students brought into that program last year, 36 finished, and she recalls that 36 of them had averages of C or better, which seems to be the, I guess, the baseline they're hoping for.
Right, right. Well, and based on your story, too, nice job on the story, by the way. Thing that I noticed was they're also going to be, I don't know, the aggressive is the right term, but certainly more hands-on with watching students individually and being that mom or dad on campus to basically say, are you getting your homework done? Something seems to be going on. It seems like a different approach for most universities.
Particularly with first-year students, I think, is going to be the focus. Wolfolk shared a story with me. I don't recall if it was her son or if it was someone else, but someone who was going to college, the system that was tracking them didn't notice that they weren't going to the dining hall for a few days at a time. And that was enough to prompt, not an intervention, but a visit from someone to ask what was going on.
Right. Somebody cared. Mm-hmm. Somebody noticed. And sometimes that's really all it takes to get a student or a person back on track. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So how quickly are all of these tools going into place?
Well, as I said, the flat rate tuition goes into effect in the fall of 2020, the fall of this year. The Blue Tiger Academy is already in place. Wolfolk said they would like to expand it to 150 students next year. And as for the kind of monitoring of students through software in the Student Success Center, she said that software is being implemented now, so there'll be more kind of hands-on with it next year.
Okay. So how confident do you believe LU is that these tools that they have in place are the fixes for the issues they're struggling with?
Well, I mean, they're certainly their immediate priorities. I mean, just based on the numbers we mentioned earlier, LU clearly has a long hill to climb up. At this point, I think I can say that they're being proactive based on what they've told me. I think they're certainly open to trying more ideas. I think a big thing is that, and we'll focus on this, a lot of their first-time students especially aren't prepared for college life, and that's something these programs are kind of aiming to work on as well. The Peachtree report you mentioned earlier also cited that students aren't financially literate when they come to college. To Lincoln specifically, but I think you could probably say that writ large as well, perhaps. Mm-hmm. A lot of students don't understand how financial aid works. They don't understand these deadlines that, you know, your aid will expire. So I think there's a lot of either pre-college education that needs to happen, or very early on in students' careers, they need this information. They need to know how to take care of themselves, basically.
Yeah. Let's hear what Dr. Wolfolk has to say.
Some people, we talk about the millennial generation, it's Generation X, Z, whatever generation it is, and how independent they are, but many of them are not. And many of them are not prepared for adulthood and being out here having to make their own decisions. So I always say, I will hold your hand until you can learn to walk. And I think that's what Lincoln has always been about.
Well, to check out more details about LU's efforts to boost enrollment, graduation, and retention rates, check out Philip's stories at newstribune.com. Philip, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. From time to time, we'll have outtakes and bloopers to share. Here's some from today's show. Let me get you a lead in here, okay? And then you can confess your obsession with puns.
It's not an obsession. It's just... it just happens.
Okay. All right. So, Philip has been a reporter here at the News Tribune for how many years, Philip?
A little more than 3 years.
Okay. So, since Philip's been here, this is a little bit of behind the scenes here on News Tribune on Tap. So, he also is known for his puns. So, to the point of almost an obsession of puns. You disagree?
Well, I can't call it an obsession because it's not like I come to work every day with these written down or ready to go. It's spur of the moment.
Just drop of the hat, though, all of a sudden. There it is. All right, so He has been in anticipation. He wanted to share a pun with News Tribune readers here. So, Philip, I hesitate to say this, but lay your pun on me.
Well, I have to say, I cannot claim this as original content of my own. I saw this on YouTube.
So it's that bad, is it? He didn't deny it.
What's so great about living in Switzerland?
I don't know, Philip. What is so great about living in Switzerland?
I actually don't know either, but I hear the flag is real plus.
Seriously? That's your best pun, Philip?
For the moment, yes.
Do you have another one? All right, then. Thanks, Philip.
I need material to work with. We should say that people come to me for headline advice. So.
And the editors quickly delete. News Tribune on Tap is produced by the staff of the Jefferson City News Tribune, with engagement editor Nicole Roberts handling production and technical duties. You can find this podcast at newstribune.com/NT-on-tap. Thanks for listening.